This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, the draft has come and gone, and now we can analyze how we feel about it, what our emotions are, all of the stuff that we've gone through over the last 72 hours or so. And, Mike, I got to tell you, it was compelling all the way through the end. I mean, the last pick, Mr. Irrelevant, I'm sitting there. I wanted to see who it was going to be. But everybody's talking about how well they think our team did. And here's the deal. We got to talk about beyond, obviously, Jalen Walker and James Pierce. Mike and I got a chance to talk to those guys Friday. If you missed it, guys, go online, odyssey.com, and you get a chance to hear what they had to say as they made their way to the building. But, Mike, the rest of this draft, you kept saying, are they going to go corner? Are they going to do something else defensively? I kept thinking maybe big defensive tackle, but I think they feel like they've got those guys on the squad. How did you feel about the rest of this?
I like it. I mean, certainly they've added some pieces. I was actually a little more compelled by some of the undrafted signees, and we'll get into that too, because there's some potential there, as there is every year. But I love the Xavier Watts pick. Because he picks the ball. I mean, you talk about a ball hawk. I mean, that's great to see. Billy Bowman, similar but different. And then Jack Nelson, I mean, a big giant dude from Wisconsin, right? I mean, I know it's a seventh rounder, and the odds of a seventh rounder making it aren't great. But hopefully we can get some depth at some of these swing positions on the offensive line. I think it's all you could have asked for. I mean, look, everything I saw this week, and I know that people get upset when you see these grades, and I've seen everything from an A- to a C-. I think some knucklehead at Yahoo called it asinine to move up for James Pierce. So, I mean, look, and that's basically where this draft rides. If James Pierce Jr. hits the ground running or is really double-digit sack guy in the next 2 years, then it's a win. But that's kind of like the focal point of our draft. It was the pivot to move up back in the first round.
I totally agree, because the reality is if this trade – and trades only work out if you win. Trades, if you make a trade like this and you give a future compensation, especially a first-round pick, and it doesn't work into our favor, it's a fail. So, yeah, it's about winning. It's about production. And I will tell you, Mike Green, who we talked a lot about, went 59th to the Ravens. I still think right now where he's at coming into the NFL, he's a better pass rusher. But with that said, it doesn't mean that James Pierce may not work out and he may not be that guy ultimately. But I agree. I mean, look, I just felt like the thing that was bothersome for a lot of folks is the Falcons were able to overlook James Pierce's issues, okay? And he had some. And they had other guys who weren't even on their board. And it's interesting to say, okay, you're concerned about these issues with this individual, but you're not concerned about these issues with this guy. And so a lot of people have looked at that and said, okay, wait, is that double standard? Look, they were convinced and sold that this was going to be a guy that could help them in the pass rush game, and so they went and got him. And Mike, let's be honest, whether it was a reach, whether we don't like that they went back and made this deal, if we win, no one will care. If we win and this defense is as good as we think it can be ultimately down the road, I'm not saying next season, I'm just saying as he grows into a player, then nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to remember that, oh, they went back into the first round to get this guy if he produces.
Right. We talked a lot about Mike Green and Ezra Raku. And again, had we just, for argument's sake, had we standed pat and we didn't move up And if they liked a guy like Ezeraku, because I do believe Pierce Jr. is clearly gone by 46, but Ezeraku goes at 44. Of course, you know, the Ravens being the Ravens, they, you know, look, if you're not concerned with Mike Green and there's no criminal charges or nothing to look at here, we talked about the characters you just mentioned. The Ravens just always seem to get the guys that fit. And as a fan, you just feel they're going to be a perfect fit in that organization. So we'll see how it plays out. But, I mean, I don't know anyone who isn't impressed by Malachi Starks and Mike Green, your first two picks. But getting back to us, yeah, it's all about Pierce Jr. Is this guy going to be a difference maker? Is he going to bulk up? You know, we were talking with some of our friends in the league, and some guys were saying there's tremendous potential. But everyone almost agrees universally he needs to be coached up.
He does. And again, raw talent. That speed you can't teach. I mean, he's a 4-4 guy coming off the edge. And by the way, here's what I take from this weekend. As far as the Falcons are concerned, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We've got a lot to chop up, guys. Shedeur Sanders finally gets drafted. We had our own organizational situation that we're dealing with. And also the Braves, believe it or not, have found their way right back into the mix in our division. Tonight they're in Colorado. So we'll dive into all of that stuff. But, Mike, speed on defense has been upgraded. Speed on our defense has been upgraded. We didn't chase a corner, but you upgraded safety, and you may have drafted your safeties of the future with arguably the best safety in the business here to learn under, and that's Jesse Bates. The other thing is the pass rush got upgraded, regardless of what we think Pierce is going to be, and I'm totally on point with Mike. I'm skeptical about how that particular pick may play out because I felt like there were guys who should have gone in front of him. But if you're convinced, and I said this about Penix, and I'll say it about him, and they were convinced, they had the conviction, they drafted him. The other thing about our defense is we're getting guys back that we don't know how good they are. And everybody said, well, why don't they do this? What are we going to do? Why don't we go get a big defensive tackle? And Mike, over the weekend, I was talking with people. Find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes, and the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Root Guys was a 3-year starter at Clemson. He played last year. We got a glimpse of what he can possibly look like. But when you start talking about Brandon Dorlus coming back, who was the 4th-round pick last year, and Trice, I'm telling you, we felt like Trice looked the part. We didn't see enough of him, and then he gets hurt. But, Mike, you're bringing those guys into the fold, and then you have other guys on this team who now, with the edge taken care of, you can potentially move inside, and maybe you have even more versatility inside.
Right, and I know that a lot of folks, and I love this question, well, how you use Jalen Walker? I saw some of those breakdown of the analysis. I'm like, they'll figure it out, okay? And by the way, and if Ulbrich and Rock can't figure it out, shame on them. Because, yes, is he the right size to be an off-ball linebacker? Is he undersized to be a true edge? Look, the guy is a talent, okay? And you don't pass on the talent. And again, through a strange set of circumstances, he fell to us at 15. They will make it work. Now, again, I was as aggravated as everyone else watching the clock tick down on draft night, but he's our guy. So now you got to maximize his talent. If this rotation works, as you said, man, get some more size in the middle. Hopefully, you know, Zach Harrison, you know, and let's be honest, maybe he needs to beef up even more and just be one of those guys in the rotation with Onyemata, who's still on the team. Right? And, of course, Rook, you just mentioned. So,
and Daquan Graham.
And Taquan and, you know, Street, some of those dudes. I'm just not overwhelmed because a lot of these guys are part of a rotation that got pushed around last year. That's my beef on the middle of the line.
And look, I don't just debate that. Were these guys out of position, though? Were some of these guys better inside than they were outside? You're asking them to do something, Mike, that they don't do. Pierce is coming in here. He's going to do what he's done. Mm-hmm. Jalen Walker's coming in here. Do what you've done. Right, we've already heard from the weekend that defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, outside of the other situation, has said they're going to start him on the edge. That's what they want him to master.
Right.
So, Mike, you've got now that taken care of, and I think some of these guys who may be better fits in the middle help us there. We want to know what you guys think. 404-726-0929. Now that the draft is done, and again, I don't judge drafts, guys. Drafting day or the week of, there's no sense in it because we don't know. These guys haven't played a down for us. 2-3 years from now, you'll be able to judge, Mike. And there are drafts. Now you look back. Drake London, pretty good. Is Bijan Robinson pretty good? Like you can now say, hey, those guys were the right guys when we ended up picking them because of the effect that they're having on the football team.
Like right now, I mean, we can't judge the 2024 draft. I mean, we think we got good feelings about Rook. We haven't seen Braylon. We've only seen, you know, Michael Penix. You're just scratching the surface. So whatever you think that grade is, you got to let it breathe. 23, I got Robinson and I got Bergeron. Those guys are pretty darn good. Clark Phillips has been able to contribute. So I got, you know, two guys that are like rock stars. So, I mean, but to your point, and I'm not, this, by the way, this isn't a shot at D-led, so don't sit there and go, you know, Mike and Kyle talking crap about me. No, I'm just saying, every writer, every editor puts this out there. Everybody provides content. It's just kind of like, you know, okay, give me a breakdown of a draft. Give me a grade. And I'm with Carl. It's based on preconceptions of the draft, everything that was already valuations, which we already found to be off based on where these guys were already drafted. So, again, to me, it's a joke. And don't waste your time with it. You won't know. You have no way of knowing. I don't know what James Pierce Jr. is going to be. I think you agree with me. If this draft is going to be a success, he's got to be a hit because there's a risk involved.
He's a first-round pick now. Yeah. I mean, like, we got two first-round picks. Right. In this draft.
That's it's your first.
It's
okay?
Your first.
I mean,
that's right.
That's why people just, even in how they describe some things, they make it sound 10 times worse than it actually is.
But if I told you a first round pick was not as good or failed in 3 or 4 years from now, then that is a red check mark by the front office's name next to it, right? Because you cannot screw up your first round picks. You might screw up your third, your second, every now and then. Okay, I get that. Your first-round pick has to be a lock. And so we got two of those guys, and Mike's right. In essence, guys, what you gave up is you have to look at this as this was what we were going to do next year. And so that's how you have to look at it. We don't have that pick, but this is what we're going to do, and so there's a replacement. But, Mike, you're right. It, to me, is all about James Pierce Jr. and how good he's going to be.
If you go back and look at 2016, we kept talking about that same phrase. I need three starters. I think we got three starters.
I
mean, certainly they're going to be in the rotation, but you would have given the Falcons an A-plus for the 2016 draft. Three immediate contributors on defense, Austin Cooper. Schweitzer was a rotational guy, played, and eventually started on offensive line. That's about as good as it gets. That's about as good as the 2008 draft, which kind of was the bedrock that Matt Ryan was a part of and everybody else. So, yeah, but you didn't know that, and you couldn't sit there and go, yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, again, you don't know. So, yes, I'm not going to say it. It's a study in mental self-gratification. How's that? When it comes to giving a grade to a draft right now.
And by the way, for Pierce, if you're going, yeah, Duke, say, here you guys, what concerns? There were off-the-field concerns. Nothing like criminal, okay? But as I said to Mike, maturity, right? We're talking about, are you mature enough to handle the situation that you are about to be thrust into? And some guys aren't, man. And we're going to find out fairly quickly if he is or if he isn't. But the bottom line is some of that stuff resonates as guys continue their careers. If you were this way in college, okay, and you didn't show up for things and you weren't on time, and that stuff resonates. Because guess what? You get to the NFL, nobody's calling you and say, hey, make sure you're at this meeting. You're an adult now. You're supposed to be here. We're paying you big money. So those are the kind of things we're talking about, guys. And it doesn't make him a bad person. We're just simply saying some of the stuff that we heard about James – hey, didn't concern the Falcons enough for them not to draft him.
And they did a deep dive on the guy. Look, I mean, a couple guys hit me up that I ran into over the weekend saying, man, Jalen Walker sounds like unbelievable. Yeah, because he's polished. He's a captain of the team. He's one of those guys. Pierce is a different energy. I mean, again, you want him spinning plates and doing knock-knock jokes? I mean, yes, not everybody is going to come off. And it's tough because Jalen came off like a rock star. Pierce a little more reserved. It's a different energy.
Hey, when we come back, and yes, we will dive into the other Falcon issue that has made national news. Trust us, you're going to want to hear what we have to say. But before we get to that, Braves take 2 of 3 from the D-backs. Also, two guys you're very familiar with are back with our team. We'll tell you about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We just got word, NBA news here, and we didn't spend or won't spend a lot of time today on this particularly. But
seeing as we have no team in the playoffs.
But I got to tell you, man. Well, it's been fun to watch, but Day-Day, executive producer, just told us that Dame Lillard torn Achilles.
Oof.
Brutal.
Has anything gone right for Milwaukee since they won the title?
No.
Literally nothing?
No. Fired Bud.
Yeah.
Made the trade. Dame's been hurt, had the blood clot and all that stuff, and then now comes back torn Achilles. So in the prime of his career, he's got it's a year, Mike, right? I mean, in the NBA, all the jumping, cutting, it's a year.
And he's no spring chicken.
No. And my guess is Giannis is gone. Like, it's time for him to say, I'm not going to win another one here, and he's probably going to be begging or asking for a trade. So we'll see how that plays out. But that news literally just coming in as we came back. If you're just joining us, happy Monday, everybody. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking about the Falcons draft over the weekend. Again, a lot of pundits saying we hit it out of the park. We got everything we needed with our 5 picks. We didn't, give up a whole lot when it comes to trying to make some other things happen in this draft. I thought they made smart deals. Mike and I were just talking off record, behind the scenes about the James Pierce pick.
And again, I want to be clear on this. He hadn't played a down for us. I don't know how good he's going to be. But to me, this draft and the success of this entire draft looms right. on how well he plays. I mean, look, Xavier Watts could come in here and be a baller.
Okay? Him and Jesse Bates, now we just talked about, we rolled the dice with Justin Simmons, and unfortunately it didn't pan out. But this is a guy who's got more interceptions than anyone in the last 2 years in college football.
He's
how
a
about
player.
That?
He's a player.
Yeah.
And Billy Bowman can come in here, man. I said he was smallish over the weekend. People were asking me about him. Besides, doesn't look, when you're talking about a guy that's going to be mostly in the nickel, is what they're saying,
right.
but he's a guy that brings a hat. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes when you talk about the size, it's not the fight of the size of the dog, right? It's the fight in the dog. This is one of those guys, man. They list him at like 5'10", Mike, but he is a playmaker as well. You've got ball hawks and playmakers now in your secondary, and they doubled down basically on that position, right?
And now you got depth, and again, you can also, you know, use them. Again, special teams, I get all that stuff, but you're right. We got dudes. I like the Jack Nelson. I mean, I don't know, seventh round, the odds of that, we know seventh rounders are rarely making a team.
He's played a lot of games.
And he's a big body yes. from a big program. I know for a lot of guys, and we know that over the years, going small school kind of, you know, irks people when you have, you know, like, if Troy Andersen was a star, you wouldn't care where he went to school. He just can't stay healthy. But, I mean, the fact that, you know, it's SEC, SEC Notre Dame, SEC Wisconsin, Big Ten. You know, most people, that kind of checks a lot of boxes for some of our fans.
Coming up at 3 o'clock, guys, 4th and 1, and I have a story to tell you. You're not going to believe the story behind the story. Stay here. It's Dukes and Bell. Hey, behind the glass, Big O is hanging out. Of course, he is our engineer. As I said, Day-Day is executive producing. Coming up, our thoughts on what the Falcons have had to deal with this weekend. It is a huge story. We'll try to put it in perspective for you. That is on the way, but right now, let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
Win Friday, win Saturday, lose Sunday. That's a series win for our Braves. And yesterday, you know, they had a miscommunication in the outfield that cost them.
Painful.
Verdugo and Harris. I got it. You got it. I got it. Somebody's got to call for that ball. Either way, it drops, and we end up losing 6-4. But, Mike, when you talk about the Braves right now, it starts with Schwellebach, who was on the hill yesterday. And here's what our manager, by the way, Brian Snicker, had to say about his start.
Yeah, we just, you know, thought Schwellenbach did a good job of minimizing and got in some situations. We allowed him one run, but we just couldn't, you know, come back and things happen.
Yeah, I mean, you won a series. It still was a little bittersweet because the top of that inning, you left so many guys on base and you felt like you missed. And I know we've discussed this at length. I brought this up to you last week. Ozzie Albies is having some brutal at-bats with guys on base. And that was last night was another example. With two outs, he couldn't get the job done. But they really did, unfortunately, blow that game. But, hey, another series. And if you noticed, they're inching up to 500. So by the end of the month, Carl, should be right where they need to be.
Yeah, tonight.
After all the, obviously, the doom and gloom the first 2 weeks.
Well, and look, it's just hard. This is a long road back, but this is what we needed. I said, we got to start stacking series. Here's the deal about the next three. They suck. Colorado is the worst team in the major leagues. If you don't win these three, something happened. I don't know what's going on, okay?
Right.
And this is a series, Mike, that's very winnable. And I don't care who you're throwing out on the mound. Guys, they've won 4 games this season.
Right.
So
they're dreadful. And so you're right. To Carl's point, this is a good team to get healthy on. And right now we're still 6.5 games back. The Mets are just continue to be one of the hottest teams in baseball and do it with not necessarily a lot of run score, but a lot of great pitching every night out. So that's one team eventually we'll have to see and see what we can do against them. We got some roster moves with the Bravos. Chris, I'm sure I have something to say about this. Thomas, who never liked Jared Kelnick. I never liked that guy. Kelnick option to Gwinnett. Oh. Eddie Rosario has been signed. So I mean, we just keep going back and back. Grant joked around McCauley, said time is a flat circle. Remember True Detective? Also bringing back Ian Anderson, who, of course, got waived by the Angels after we sent him over there. So Ian Anderson will reunite with the Braves today, and Eddie Rosario is also back in Kelnick down to the minors.
What year is this?
Yeah, it is 2021 all over again.
No, it's 2025. Can we move forward?
They can't. They won't.
It's 2025.
Like, well, is it nostalgia or it's just, again, cheap options in a year? And now do you just admit that Kelnick is a bust?
Well, listen, he has options. It doesn't mean he's going away. They haven't designated him for assignment. No. This is why they signed him again. Under salary control, Chris. It's another reason why they signed him. You can do this, Mike, and experiment and play with it and see what you want to do, but they still have him under contract for little of nothing. With that said, you talked about Ozzy Albies. Let's hear what he had to say, Brian Snicker, about Ozzy.
We know what Oz has, you know, had 30 and 100 before and have some rough patches and still has a way of coming out of, you know what? Oz is great with hanging with himself. He doesn't put a lot of pressure, I don't think, and he has a lot of confidence and understands that this is a seven-month season and he could, you know, rattle off two great months and be right where you want him to be.
Yeah, he's batting 229. He's got 13 RBIs on the season for a guy that you really do expect a hell of a lot more from, Carl. It's just been one of those, I got to be honest, one of those runs where you sit and you go, does he have a plan at the plate? And the lefty-righty thing continues to drive Braves fans crazy. I thought, you know, last year you and I were joking off the air, and I said, at some point, Ozzy's age is going to feel undervalued. Not right now. Right now, you feel like that contract's about right for what you're getting from Ozzy Albies.
By the way, Ian Anderson and me fussing about what year it is, 9 1/3 innings, guys, has not started all season. He has an 11 ERA. What are we doing?
You know, and the was it Griffin Canning or Canning, whatever the dude was from the Angels we traded Soler for? Guy's 3-1 with an ERA about 3. That was a guy that we actually had the rights to. That, I mean, I'm just saying, for all of the double-A bargain hunting, this guy, it was a dude you actually got in a trade and you let go, and now we're, I said a bad word, monkeying around with a lot of rehab. I mean, let's be honest, this is simply just a lot of just rehashing the old storylines to your point about what year this is.
All right, let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
It is our Atlanta Falcons. Terry Fontenot talking about his other picks, guys. We took in the fourth round of Billy Bowman out of Oklahoma. Guys, again, you doubled down two safeties, one in the third, one in the fourth. Here's Terry Fontenot on Billy Bowman.
If you don't enjoy watching him play, then you just don't like football. He flies around tough, smart, extremely athletic, really versatile. I know Brick's talked about our vision of him playing in that nickel and all the things he can do there, whether he's a pressure player, whether he's covering people or playing the run, filling, takes the ball away at a high rate, not just in terms of interceptions and anticipating and pulling, taking away, but he's got ball awareness. We talked about the other day with Xavier. He's got ball awareness, so he takes it away. And, again, just an unreal competitor, next-level competitor. So very, very excited about him and what he brings to our team and our defense.
Safeties are so important, man.
Right. Surprised that wasn't a corner?
No, because, Mike, look.
We got a full safety room right now. Not everyone's going to be on this team.
Well, we do, but here's the deal. These guys, these type of players, Xavier Watts is a prime example, and we go back to, you know, the Keanu Neal move, Mike.
Right.
Safeties play such a big role in this kind of defense where you need a dude back there.
Your version of the nickel. Right.
You need a dude. And when you start talking about the corners, again, Mike Hughes, whatever you think of him, was not terrible, guys. And so you've increased and, I think, upped your secondary level of turnover potential with these ball hawks, with Jesse back there. They're going to learn under him. And, Mike, I thought they were going to go again. I thought D-tackle, right? One of these picks was going to be D-tackle. They go safety, and it just tells me, okay, they're happy – or at least satisfied right now with the guys that they have in the corner room, but we're going to be better because of our safety play this year.
And as we always say, guys, there seems to be, it's almost like, you know, there's a run on a certain position. And to your point about, like, you know, why they went safety, there were a bunch of defensive tackles. The Bills went with Deion Walker from Kentucky. Mm. 49ers went and got C.J. West out of Indiana. There was a couple of DTs that went. I don't know how high they were on our board, but at that point, unless you were going to use more draft equity from 2026, I don't think they wanted to do that anymore to move up. So that's why they went where they went. But, yeah, there was not much as far as a corner or a DT at that position at that time.
Yeah, more with Terry Fontenot talking about the other things they did in this draft coming up. Let's get to story number three.
Story number three.
It is NBA playoffs, guys, and as Mike said, our team is not in it, although Trey does win the assist award, which is pretty cool. He, you know, put it out there on Instagram. The trophy looks cool, by the way. If you've never seen it, it's out there. But Trey was saying this is the one I wanted the most because, again, what it says is he shares the ball. He's not selfish. And whatever those perceptions were, when you lead the league in assists, it screams that, hey, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get my guys involved, even though it didn't pan out the way we hoped in getting in the playoffs. But Anthony Edwards, Mike, is Ant-Man the best player in the NBA?
I love his energy, man. I love. I mean, look, he talks a lot of ish, but he backs it up on the floor, man. And I thought he had a really nice answer about what it would mean to beat the Lakers because they got him on the ropes 3-1. Talking about, like, Luka is one of the big stars in the league. LeBron is a great star, you know, at the end of his career. You know, I'm trying to find my way in this league. So he's paying respect, you know, to both Luka and LeBron, but also beating them and coming up with some big, big buckets, man. So that's fun to watch. The Magic kind of helped. They hang with the Celtics for a minute there. It looked like they could even the series, but too much firepower at the end from Tatum and company.
Celtics going to advance. We already know Oklahoma City advanced.
By the way, the Knicks-Pistons looks like it's 1989 all over again.
It does.
I mean, if style makes the fight, it's literally like, if you're watching like that Celtics documentary, you think you are in 1988 watching that.
Hey, man, when we come back, what happened? When you heard about it over the weekend, you were like, we can't get out of our own way.
Mm.
Mike and I are going to talk about it because it is a big story, and we need to discuss with you next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Hope you had a great weekend. Mike, my wife was out of town. I know your wife travels a lot.
Yep.
But I was telling Day-Day and Mike Conti, total bachelor pad this weekend.
Nice.
And literally, like, woke up Saturday morning and was like, why is the Doors 21 out? And why is there a pizza box and wrappers everywhere? Like, I totally did stuff that I normally don't do. And it felt good because it was like, I had to clean this up until, what time, honey, what time are you getting home?
No.
I did not have to worry about anything. It was the best. And I did think about you for a second because I was like, this must be the life that Mike lives because your wife is gone all the time.
It's really, that's why, you know, I have my wingman is Ike. I had a photo of me and Ike at the drive-thru this weekend. It's like, I'll have a Baconator, fries, sweet tea, and whatever my human wants.
Mm.
But no, it's funny because it's the same boat. Me and Ike basically just run amok, and then, you know, knowing the wife's coming home the next day, it's like, okay, time to get the Swiffer wet jet out.
Got
to
get it out.
Shh, get the kitchen right, get the hardwoods right.
When she got home, she was like, so how was it? I was like, it was fine. If you would have took pictures 72 hours ago, it was completely a mess in here.
So you literally had, like, pizza boxes on the coffee table the whole thing?
I told them, I woke up Saturday, and I was like, when did I order that? And why was I drinking the Doors 21? At what point did that happen? Like, I'm looking around. I'm like, there's stuff around
you went scotch.
Oh,
wow.
Dude. Oh, come on. That's good stuff.
But that's like, good stuff. You've been in Vegas with my cousin when Tony's like, it'd be like 4 in the morning. What are we going to drink now? We'll go to scotch.
Yeah. You know,
like, that's not going to end well.
There are certain, cigars and scotch, that's different.
Right.
I'm not drinking a bottle like Tony just trying to get tore up. But yeah, man, it was fun. I'll say that. And Mike Conti said, I think as men, we all deserve those weekends. We do. So men, just take advantage of it.
Men.
All right. Let's talk about what happened with the Falcons, guys. I know many of you were either upset, disappointed, and rightfully so, because the story became about our organization, and it should not have. But I have to say this as we start this conversation, and we'd love to hear your input. I know many of you have hit us up on social media and lots of conversations or at least, you know, chatter about how you feel about this. I do not think Jeff Ulbrich did anything wrong here. Parents assume that your kids are going to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we've all screwed up. And when your kids don't do the right thing, you hopefully use it as a teachable moment, okay? You want to correct it. You certainly want to encourage them to do the right thing. But, Mike, I think just piling on this young man, which is what I've heard a lot of, is the easy thing to do. And by no stretch of the imagination, am I dismissing what happened? Am I saying what he did wasn't wrong? But this is not an indictment of the franchise, in my opinion. It's a bad look. But this is not like, oh, the Falcons. It just felt like we couldn't get out of our own way. We had a great weekend with the draft, and then this crap happens. So as we discuss this, guys, and people are, you know, going in, and again, let's say this, Mike. The kid apologized. Shador Sanders, and if you don't know what we're talking about, he pranked Shador Sanders. Pranked Shador Sanders, made a fake phone call. They taped it. Then it got out, and, you know,
they were dumb enough to put it on Instagram.
It was stupid. And you know, so this is what happened, and all of a sudden everybody's talking about our organization and what's going on with Jeff Ulbrich and his son. So, again, I just want to say, as a parent, if this is your kid, they screwed up. We've all screwed up. And that's why, Mike, I don't think the NFL is going to do anything. Yes, they're investigating, but ultimately the Falcons aren't going to do anything, and they came out with a statement yesterday – And I don't think the NFL, we're not going to lose any draft picks or anything like that.
No, I mean, look, it's embarrassing. I said to Carl off the air, I was talking about it on social media when I had a guy started asking me when it first came up. And I was like, oh, he's wearing an old Miss shirt. His son actually goes to Berry College here in Georgia. And he's 21. And, you know, I don't know. I left the house at 17. Everyone matures at their own level, at their own thing. All I can go is by my own experience because I don't have kids. But I do know in my household, you don't mess with dad's money. Okay, so I'm not sure, you know, how Jeff handles it, and that's none of my business. But I will say this, if this son of his ever wanted to work in the NFL, I believe that door is going to be closed. So I'm not sure what his future plans are. He's a business major at Berry College, according to published reports. But no,
it's a great school, by the way.
And our good buddy of ours, you know, remember Kenny Fireman? Ken is one of the lacrosse coaches out there. But I just felt that two things, and this kind of dovetails into the Shador phenomenon over the draft weekend. Yeah, I mean, it was an unbelievable story, and there was a number of people, fans, media types that are relishing watching Shador Sanders fall like a turd from heaven. The glee. Oh, look at this. What did he ever do to you? I mean, Deion come to your house and drive to make donuts in the front yard? I didn't understand that. Okay, so the kid's got attitude and edge. So what? But I mean, that was one side of it. And then on the flip side, you got guys turn this thing literally into a federal case. I mean, guys, I get it. The hubris, the ego, the way that Deion, and that's why Deion started walking this stuff back after they realized they overplayed their hand at the combine, based on some of the interviews and some of the things that got public from some of the teams. Teams that he knew he's not going to be drafted by, apparently he gave them a little bit of attitude, allegedly. I don't know. I wasn't in the room. But I'm not going to sit there and watch a guy's the biggest day in his life. I mean, this isn't a prank call, Carl, where it's Bart Simpson calling Moe's, right? You know, I'm looking for a man to hug and kiss. Okay, that's not it. This is a guy on one of the biggest weekends of his life dealing with some major disappointment, and someone's going to crack wise with a phone call. But also, let's get our facts straight because things got going bananas on social media. There were multiple prank phone calls to multiple athletes. The only one that Jax Ulbrich was related to is the Shador Sanders case.
So
just have your facts straight before you start making this thing into something it isn't on social media.
This was disrespectful to Shador. We all deserve respect, which is what Mike's talking about. And especially respect for what work goes into this process. And that was discounted and totally forgotten and didn't, you know, nobody cared when they did this.
Right.
But at the end of the day, that to me was the thing is, The disrespect, it doesn't matter what you think of Shador or what you think of him as a player. He deserves respect. He's a kid that's trying to make his way and is going to get drafted, hopefully, and hopefully go somewhere and has success. That's all yet to be determined. But at the end of the day, if this was you getting that phone call, that's not cool. And that is the part that people are disappointed in. And, of course, it gets back to, as I always say, if somebody on this show screws up, guess who's getting called in? Me. Guess what they say? 92.9 The Games.
Right.
Whoever it is. So it's why the Falcons' name is on the big banner, and it's like, oh, what did the Falcons do? Falcons didn't do anything, and Jeff Ulbrich didn't do anything. Sometimes as a father, you can do all the things you want as far as or you need to tell your kids right from wrong, but, Mike, we all make mistakes. So that's where I'm at with this, and I'm not going to pile on the kid because that's the easy thing to do and say, oh, this kid, that's easy. I think hopefully they teach him what needs to be taught out of this moment. He apologized. We always talk about this, and I don't think it's any bigger. Nobody's bigger than this. If you screw up, all you can do is apologize and hope that person accepts your apology. You know what Shador Sanders did? He took the phone call. Kid called him and said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I apologize. Mm-hmm. He took the phone. He didn't have to take the phone call.
Right.
So that's all we can hope. And for me, as a Falcon fan, I actually just ready to move on. I don't want to linger on this because it's easy to say the kid did this, 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 and this, and this is what should happen. And, Mike, I've even heard today, you know, oh, he should get a spanking. He's 21. You don't spank 21-year-olds,
well,
okay?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at some of these, I mean, our own Adam Schein and some of these guys, you know, a lot of network people. I mean, Jax is a grown man. The prank was recorded and shared. It's a mistake that deserves real consequences? I mean, you're gonna get him for wire fraud? You're gonna get the feds involved? I mean, yes, it's embarrassing. The kid, like I said, I don't know what the kid's plans are. This now will go with him wherever he goes because Jax is not a very common name. So whatever he's going to be doing and whatever walk of life he pursues, this will be something he's going to have to explain. It is stupid. And like for Falcon fans, my only thing, Carl, is like anything else, we got a draft we're feeling pretty good about, dot, dot, dot. But then everyone kind of rolled their eyes because now the Falcons get dragged into the situation. Mm. You know, like when I had my situation, you know, when I got in trouble in social media, the Falcons, because we're associated with the Falcons, they had to, you know, you're dragging your business partners into this stuff. So it's embarrassing. So you can apologize. You hope you learn from it. But I mean, I just know when I was a kid and a young man, I never got into my dad's stuff. The idea of getting on my dad's computer, because they didn't exist like back then. I didn't even get into my father's office until he died to clear out his personal effects when I was like 23.
Yeah, but
I mean, everybody, like, I know, yes. I know what you're going to say, but this kid should know better. It's a stupid thing to do, because now your dad and the Falcons organization has to deal with this nonsense.
Yeah, I just, Mike, you come home as a parent, you put your wallet on the counter, you put your credit cards out. You leave, Day-Day, you leave stuff out. You're at home. If it's open.
Oh, no, it's not on Jeff.
But I'm saying this. You're saying you don't go into it. You don't even have to go into it. Jeff could have came home and put the damn thing on the counter and been it's on
to
my
go
counter.
Get a personal phone number of a draft pick? That requires a little due diligence.
I'm just saying, Mike, the idea is, as parents, you come home and you trust your kids to do the right thing.
Right.
You're not hiding your wallet or your credit cards. And if you are, then you got other issues, okay? You come home, you put your iPad down, it's open or whatever the hell happened. That's how stuff takes place. It's not always about going in and, like, creeping and finding stuff. I think most parents are like, look, I trust my kids. I talk to them. I'm going to leave my stuff out here. That's what I guess. Either way, this is a bad look for our franchise. That's where I'm at. But it's not the end of the world, and it's certainly not an indictment on Jeff Ulbrich. 404-726-0929. You guys can text us. You can let us know what you think about this situation. Day-Day, let's put up a poll, because some people were frustrated that, hey, the Falcons should be penalized for this. And again, what kind of penalty are you talking about? What, you want to find Mr. Blank? What are we talking
about?
That's
what I'm saying. You got real media tags, people that know better. I mean, the reaction is, what's the penalty going to be, you know? Other than the kid looks like an idiot, you know, the kid has apologized, as Carl said, you know, Shador Sanders, you know, he was the big man, took the call, you know, and we're moving on. But you're going to penalize the team? That's ridiculous. I mean, that's insane. Now, I mean, you want the kid expelled from college over that? I mean, I don't think that's the right call either. It's such a strange set of circumstances. I don't know what you do, but I do know this. Don't mess with my friggin' football team over this, because it's not their fault.
No, it's not. Polls up, by the way. Atlanta Falcons have said they have no plans to take action against DC Jeff Ulbrich. Are you okay with the decision? It's simple, yes or no, because that's where this is at. Like, and Jeff's not getting fired. If that was going to happen, guys, it probably would happen already. None of that stuff is going to happen. This was a mistake by a young man who is connected to our team, and his dad is the DC, and that's the unfortunate part. But hopefully, again, they do the right thing by him, and he doesn't do anything like this moving forward.
But, I mean, it does, like I said, but it's okay. So you're telling me he comes home, dad's computer is up to the Shador Sanders page. I mean, that's a hell of a coincidence.
I don't know.
If that's the case, I mean, again, it just takes a little bit of suspension of belief.
Maybe there is a list of names with numbers, because these guys have NFL numbers, for those of you who don't know how the draft plays out. And maybe there's just a list there, and you can scroll up, Mike, and look, and you're coming across names. You're like, oh, crap, that's what's-his-face's number. I don't know, but however it played out, my point is you don't come home and lock your iPad up if you're Jeff Ulbrich or any of these dads who are dealing with this situation that have kids, and you, especially when you feel like you should trust
your
kids.
By the way, when you're 21, you're not a kid anymore, okay, too? You're also an adult.
He's a kid.
No, he's 21. You're an adult.
He's a kid.
You have a job at 21?
He's a kid.
You pay bills at 21?
He's a kid.
You have your own driver's license at 21?
Driver's license doesn't mean anything, Mike.
You know what?
Don't make excuses for this kid.
He's not a kid. He's a young man.
No, he is a kid, Mike. He is a kid. He's a kid that's in college.
I don't know.
I have one.
Yeah.
They're kids.
21?
Yes.
You know?
They're kids.
Well, you just screwed up for your dad. Nice job, kid.
That's fine. It happens. But they're kids. They're not adults. They're not out living their own lives and paying their own way and making their own
way.
To me,
that's a cop-out.
Okay?
That's a cop-out.
No, it's the truth. I'm not saying that's okay, but let's not make it out like he's a 40-year-old man
And I'm not saying he should go to jail either, but he should be abused by us on the radio for a stupid stunt that just embarrassed your father, makes your dad, people question your dad, people want to get in your dad's pocket now and have the Falcons suspend him.
So what do you want to do?
No, I'm just continue to make fun of the kid for about another hour or two. That's fine.
That's what you want to do?
No, I mean, what else are you going to do? You just can't send him to jail over it.
No. That's,
but there's going
to
be a
consequence.
That's lame
to make
fun of. But there's got to be a consequence. Well, it's a stupid thing to do.
Okay. And then?
Well, I'll continue to say it until I'm all talked out over it. But I'm not going to send the kid to jail over it. You got some people saying this kid literally should be charged with something.
Well, that's stupid. We know that. You know that.
Right.
But yet you're responding to it. That's silly. Nobody's going to jail. Nobody's losing any picks. Nobody's going to be punished in a way that's going to harm the football team. This was just a mistake, and that's how I'm looking at it. Want to know what you think? Hit us up, by the way. Dukes and Bell 929. It is the poll is up. And by the way, it's simple. Yes or no. You don't have to go in depth. If you want to add something to it, you certainly can. When we come back, speaking of Shador, something you absolutely have to hear next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.